Now, understanding these three different states, let's just go back to that for a moment, because I think your definitions were really helpful. So it's obvious, I think, the waking state, you have to see actual physical objects. Okay, that makes sense to me. Basically, everything else is going to fall into this middle category called subtle, so let's leave that alone. And now we go to the causal realm where you don't, quote-unquote, see anything.
Right.
Can you explain that to me? What does that mean, you don't see anything?
I'll try to give you a feel of it. Because it's not a object, it's a feeling. And it's not a thing, it's an atmosphere. But you can get a sense of what it means to not be an object by just noticing your own awareness right now. Because remember, the traditions maintain that all of these states are ever present, including the pure self. You actually have 100% access to that right now. You can get a sense about it by just noticing what's already happening in your awareness and sort of start with the things farthest away. And if you're looking out in the landscape, you can see clouds going to the sky. You're aware of those. So you yourself don't feel that you are those clouds. You're aware of those clouds. So clouds are floating through the sky. If you look at your own body, you can notice there are sensations or feelings in your body. You're aware of those. They arise, they stay a bit, and they pass. These things are all arising in your field of awareness. If you look in your mind, there are thoughts arising. You are aware of those thoughts. You can see those thoughts right now. There's something witnessing the clouds. There's something witnessing your feelings. Something witnessing your thoughts. So if you say, what is that witness? If I actually try to get a feel of what is it that is looking at everything that's arising? Now, I can't see what is doing the seeing. I can't see the seer. What I see are clouds floating by in the sky. I see thoughts floating by in my mind. I see feelings floating by in my body. What is that seer or feeler or looker? That actual witness of everything that's arising moment to moment is itself none other than spirit or pure self. But you can't see that. All you sense, as you say, I see clouds, I see my body, therefore I'm not my body, I see thoughts, therefore I'm not my thoughts, is a sense of freedom, of expanse, that you are basically aware of these things, and therefore you are not confined to them. So thoughts are actually floating by in your own awareness. Clouds are floating by in your awareness. This awareness itself is a vast, spacious openness. It's a space in which all of these things arise. And that vast spaciousness itself is not an object. It's the space in which all these objects come and go. And that vast emptiness, that transparency in which this room is arising, my voice is arising, it is arising in your own awareness. It's arising in your own witness. That witnessing awareness is spirit itself. That's fundamentally what you are, profoundly. And in the deep sleep state, that's all that remains, because all these objects have gone. As you go to sleep, clouds disappear. The mountains disappear. As you continue to go to sleep, your body disappears. Continue to go to sleep, thoughts disappear. Images disappear. And there's nothing but that vast, empty awareness. But there are no objects arising in it, so you don't remember it. And you don't remember it because you don't identify with that awareness. You identify with some object in that field. So you wake up in the morning, and this body appears. This body is actually just floating in the sea of awareness. You are the sea of awareness. You are this field of emptiness in which all of these objects are arising. The first thing you do is identify with one of those objects. You identify with this body, and in these thoughts occurring here, and then with that identity, you go about facing the rest of the world. When your real identity is the space in which both this body and the world is arising moment to moment. That's what you really are. It's the entire space in which this is arising. That's what is and only remains in the deep sleep state. Zen calls it your original face, and it will say, what's the original face you had before your parents were born? Right? It's the same original face you had before the Big Bang. In other words, before any manifestation at all, there's this timeless, spaceless, ever-present witnessing. And that's the pure self, and that's what you are. It's prior to any universe or any manifestation at all. Spiritual practice is continually disidentifying with these objects that you have called yourself until you are nothing but that vast witness in which the entire universe arises, and in fact is the entire universe that's arising. But it all starts with continually letting go of these lesser and lesser and lesser identifications until you get a sense of that I am-ness that is your fundamental being and your fundamental suchness moment to moment. And that I am-ness is the space in which the universe arises. So that's the sort of phenomenology of a trip through those states. In the deep sleep state, there is that simple emptiness. And people don't tend to remember it or recognize it because they haven't thought about it this way. They're used to identifying consciousness with some object that they can see. They're not used to feeling the seer or feeling consciousness itself or resting in consciousness, or as Ramana would say, abide as the self. That means abide as the seer, not anything that can be seen. Anything you can see is not it. Anything you can see is not ultimate truth. It's some object that's arising, staying a bit, and passing. And that's what all objects do. They arise in your field of awareness, they stay a bit, they torture you, and they move on. That's sort of manifest existence. And we sort of play the object game. We identify with objects, we want this one, we push that one, we pull this one, and so on. That's called samsara, or dukkha, or suffering, or the world of sin and separation. And generally speaking, that's what you want to get out of. And you get out of it by realizing you have a case of mistaken identity. That's not what you are. You're not some object that comes, stays a bit, and goes. You are this eternal witness of everything that's happening moment to moment. So in deep dreamless sleep, you're plunged back into that. And the more you get a feel for that in meditation or just from growth and evolution in life itself, the more equanimity you get, the more distance you get from yourself, the more you plunge into this vast sea of primordial awareness, this non-dual, ever-present sea of awareness. This is what you really are. And at that point, sort of part two, is you then start embracing everything that's arising with much more gusto and enthusiasm. You become tantric in the very real sense, because having sort of disidentified from everything, transcended everything, found the vast emptiness in which everything is arising, you now can identify with everything that's arising, literally, with a great deal of gusto, because now you really are one with everything that's arising. And that's the non-dual side, that's the tantric side. It gets a little bit wild because you're re-inhabiting gross, subtle, and causal bodies with an absolute fearlessness because you know they can't kill you. So you can, because you can't die, you're unborn, you're timeless, you've never entered this stream of time. The original face doesn't enter the stream of time, it watches time. And once you have that realization of Satori, you then re-enter these bodies with a great deal of fearless gusto. And at that point, life becomes lila or play or luminosity, and not something you're trying to transcend or get away from. But you can't just identify with the phenomenal realm first. You have to identify with emptiness first. Or else you're just French kissing the shadows in the cave and calling that light, and that doesn't quite work.
So then these three states could be happening independent of each other or all at the same time? Or are they always happening at the same time?
The awareness in them is... it can happen simultaneously, yes. The objects in them tend to happen sequentially. In other words, the witness that is in deep dreamless sleep is now the same witness that's listening to my voice. There's something in you spontaneously right now that's noticing everything that's arising. You're noticing sounds, you're seeing sights, you're not making an effort to do this. That's because the witness or the self is ever present. And it's the only thing actually hearing anything. It's that which is seeing everything and hearing everything and touching everything. But... and in the gross realm, even the witness is present there, and even the witness is present in the dream state. What tends to change, even with a person who's enlightened, they'll still have waking, dream, and deep sleep states, and those are still defined the same way. In other words, in the dream state, even a sage, even Ramana Maharshi, dreams, and when he dreams, there's no rocks. So the states are sort of functional events that remain with us. What changes is whether we identify with them or not. And the average person starts by identifying their self only with what's in the waking state. But as you continue to grow and develop, then your consciousness will push into the dream state and you'll start lucid dreaming. You've disidentified with merely the waking state, and now your self is extending into the dream state. As you continue meditation or practice or growth, your consciousness will remain awake even in the deep sleep state. And that's this awareness of the ever-present self. The states still rise and fall, but your identity with them doesn't. Your identity is basically moving through all of them until you're identified with none of them. And you can witness all states. That's the definition of the witness, is that which is aware of all changes of state and is not itself a change of state.
Yeah. So lucid dreaming I've had a taste of, but lucid sleeping, yeah. I'm not sure I really know what that's like.
Yeah, and we have a lot. There's... I did a book called One Taste, which is a sort of a journal I kept for a year, and I describe some of the experience of it in that book. But there's a fair amount of research done using EEG machines on longtime meditators of 15 or 20 years. And at that point is when it does tend to become a more common occurrence. Obviously, that's a lot of practice. This is a permanent stage. Remember, it's an acquisition. It's not a temporary state. And that's why permanent stage tends to take development, and that takes years usually. But at that point, they sometimes call it subject permanence or constant consciousness. And it's just that. It's a very subtle, tacit awareness that has a thread of continuity through all states. And all it really, the subjective feel or realization, is just that. It's you are not identified with any phenomena that's arising. There's something in you that's prior even to the birth of the universe, prior even to the Big Bang. And that's your original face. And that's sort of the unanimous consensus of those who have had that awakening experience, that level of depth is available to you. And that level of depth is divine. It intersects Godhead at that point directly. And that's what you are at that point.
So just to make it real for me in terms of your own experience, when you go to sleep at night, quote unquote sleep, what happens for you? I mean, you sort of have some sense of awareness of how many hours have passed or not passed. Are you not really going to sleep the way most people go to sleep? Would you know if someone walked in the room or something like that, even if you were really, quote unquote, in deep dreamless sleep?
No. What happened? Well, it varies. There are different ways to sort of go into this, different types of experiences. Generally speaking, when this happens, and incidentally, when it starts to happen, sometimes it'll happen for people one or two nights out of a month, and then, you know, may or may not increase in frequency. For some people, it's more or less permanent. Those are very rare, generally great realized sages. But when anybody has the typical experience of this, what happens is you lie down and there is simply this ever-present awareness. You're aware of that. You have access to that during the day in any event. That is simply this awareness that you are, this emptiness in which everything is arising. This spacious awareness is what you are. And that's simply a constant current, generally, if you're having this experience. So when you go to sleep at night, what happens, when you, quote, you go to sleep at night, is you lie down and your body goes to sleep, just like it happens with anybody else. So you're not seeing rocks, you're not seeing nature, you're not hearing sights that are going on or sounds that are going on. I mean, if you're a light sleeper in any event, then you might be woken up by them, but you're not, therefore, aware of everything that's happening in the dream state. When the body goes to sleep, the body goes to sleep, and the dream will start, and you will simply witness the dream, and you will be aware that you are, in that sense, lucid dreaming. But you don't then hear anything that's going on in the gross realm. You ask, there is simply the dream state, it's just you are aware of it. As the dream state falls away, there is simply that tacit feel of, in a sense, infinite isness. That is this vast consciousness. And that is the same ever-present I am-ness that underlies these other states moment to moment. That's not something you see as an object. It's something you feel in the deepest part of feeling. In that sense, there's no boundary to it. There's no beginning in time. There's no end in time. It doesn't work like nothing is happening at that level at all. It's the vast nothing before anything that arises. But when things arise, they arise in that spaciousness. And that's what happens when the dream starts, is just there is that nothing happen. And then out of that, so to speak, images arise, dreams arise, visions arise. And then as the body starts to wake up, gross realm comes into being. Rocks come into being, the bed comes into being, the room comes into being, and you're aware of all of these options. You've just taken, in a sense, that tour through those three states, but you haven't lost the thread of I am-ness, that ever-present witness that is, in fact, witnessing all of those states. Does that make sense?
Mostly.
Mostly.